If you'll turn with me in your Bible to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. I'm going to run through. It's one of the most difficult days to preach if you've been preaching long. It's Mother's Day because mothers are just good, period, and it's hard to find something creative to say about them. Last year we had folks testify about their mothers. This year I'm going to be sharing a little bit of the scripture. 2 Timothy, first chapter of 2 Timothy. I'm reminded of a seminary class I had when one of our professors was talking about the creation story. And he said that when God made man, he made him out of mud. And that's basically in the Hebrew. And when it describes the woman, the creation of the woman, and I know some people say it, that she came from the rib, she was taken from his side out of the man. The word that described it was vayumens. If you want to know some Hebrew vayumens, you need to look at your wife and say, vayumens. And the reason you do that is when it described the men, it said mud. And looking out here, I can see some mud. When it said vayumens in the Hebrew, that means the lovely one. Amen. I know what Adam said. If you have never heard what Adam said when he first saw Eve, it was, wow! And you better say that continually. Boyfriends and girlfriends, you better teach your boyfriends to treat you right. And we're going to look at mothers, the message, very quickly, pass it on. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, he's writing to his young son in the ministry. He tells us in the second verse, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace and mercy and peace from God, the Father, our Lord, to you. I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience, that the way of my forefathers did is constantly remembering you in prayers night and day. Paul says, Timothy, I'm remembering you in prayer. I'm remembering those, and I remember our young leaders and our young people, because they are. They're the present. They're the future and the present. Listen to what he says. He says, I'm longing to see you in verse 4, even as I recall your tears, so that you may be filled with joy. Timothy's tears were because Paul had left him there. And he's the young pastor looking after a people. Let me tell you how Timothy became who Timothy was. A great leader and a man used of God and recorded in the Bible. It was not because of the Apostle Paul. It was not because Paul chose him. The next verse tells us why Timothy became the man of God he became. Paul wanted, Paul nurtured it. But Paul says in verse 5, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you. And what does it say? Which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'm sure that it is in you as well. Verse 6, for this I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Paul had set him apart, but folks, the reason Timothy was there, the reason Timothy is able to be used of God, the reason that his name is listed in the book was because of the godly influence of his grandmother and his mother. They passed it on. I'm reminded of the husband that came walking, it was not me, came walking in the door one day. He hollers out, honey, I'm home. As he got into the house, he kind of got that motherly smell. And some of you will know what I'm talking about. His wife comes in there. The littlest one is now about 2 and toddling along, and she's holding one. Her eyes are red and swollen. You can tell she's been crying. And the closer she gets to him, the better she smells. She had been trying to change the 2-year-old, and about the time she got the diaper off, the phone rang, and she stepped over to that, and the child had a bad case of diarrhea, and that had gone everywhere, and she had to clean that up. She finally gets the little baby fed and is kind of patting it to burp it, and the baby did more than burp. All over it went. And her husband comes walking in. Honey, I'm home. I hope you're glad to see me. How many of you ladies been there? Don't raise your hand. You'll kill him today. Amen. Oh, folks. What mothers have gone through. Oh, and she looked at him holding that baby and the other one toddling around, diaper half on, diaper half off, not knowing if another accident was coming. She looked him dead in the eye with that sweet, loving look. This isn't in my contract. Right, ladies? Well, parenting, most of the time, is joy more than sorrow. There's some sorrow that comes with it. But it's more joy than sorrow, and God doesn't require a contract. But if God did require a contract for parents, not just for mothers, if God said, this is the contract that I'm going to give you, and if I'm going to bless you with a child, and I'm going to give you the influence, mama and dad, but we're focusing on mothers today, these are the things I would like you to do, following the model of Lois. And if you were to ask somebody, some folks would know, but could you tell me who Lois was in the book? Who was Lois? Well, Lois was my neighbor down the street when I was growing, you know, or Eunice. Who was she? Well, she was the secretary at the bank, you know. And Lois and Eunice are mentioned here in the same breath as Timothy and the Apostle Paul. And in that contract, there's something you mothers and we fathers need to do, but we're talking about mothers today. We need to follow them as family. The first thing we need to do is to pass along our faith. My mother and daddy were very involved, godly people, First Baptist Church of Burlington. My father was there until, in fact, he was planning to go when he passed away on Saturday night. He said, I hope I get out of here early enough Sunday morning that I can go to church. My mother was there until the day she died. And they took us, and we grew up in the church. And my mother and father saw their four children come to faith, and they shared their faith and demonstrated their faith before. And I know the same happened in Rose's house. I remember I'm dating Rose, and I'm grown, folks. I'm 23. Go down there, and I'm staying in her house, and it's Saturday night, and I watched her father spend half the evening on the phone calling his kinfolk, telling them about church in the morning, like they didn't know. He's getting ready to go to bed. It was probably 7:30. Getting ready to go to bed, he looks at me and says, Sunday school is at 9:45, assembly at 9:30 at Cherry Grove. And I looked at him like the grown man I was. Well, as Rose has told you, I grew up in the church, but I haven't been to Sunday school in a while. I'm going to worship. I tell you what, son, not still courting her. We're not engaged yet, okay? Since you haven't been in a while, it's time to get started again. I'll see you at 9:30. Passed on their faith. The best thing that Lois and Eunice did, it says that the faith was in your grandmother. She passed it on to the mother and generation to generation to generation. Folks, the best thing you can do for your children is you can give them everything on earth, earthly, but if you don't pass your faith on to them, you've missed something. It gives us a starting point. Again, it says, for I'm mindful of the sincere faith which dwelt in your grandmother, in your mother, and I'm sure that it is in you, he says. Pass on your faith. Don't expect the preacher to do it. Don't expect the Sunday school teachers. They'll help you do it, but you pass on your faith. You help teach them. You help lead them. You say, well, I don't know how to lead my children to the Lord. Just tell them of your experience. Demonstrate it before them. Pass on your faith, number one. Pass along your faith. Do that. Number two, pass along your love for others. Pass along your love for others. We yesterday gathered at my father's house, and we're selling the estate, and we were doing a yard sale. And you know, I discovered something. Some of you are going to enjoy this, but those of you that do Baptist, those of you that do Easter breakfast, I've already done my one this year. I was up at 4:00. Now, folks, I've been vertical at 4:00 before, but I'm usually horizontal not long after that. Okay, I was up at 4:00. There were people at my father's house at 6:15, at 5:45 for a 7:00 yard sale. We out there still trying to put something up, and some lady walked up behind me. I thought the Holy Ghost or the devil had scared me to death. We had a lot of conversations, and there were some people that knew my parents that were there. And one of the reasons that I have great empathy, and you may not know this about me, I really pull for the little guy or the little girl, is because of my mother and father. My mother was one of those people that treated just about everybody the same. Folks won't believe it, but in the 60s and the 70s, we had black kids in our home. Our neighborhood was going crazy. My best buddy and my sister's best buddy, who was 2 years older, was a black guy by the name of Convict. Great guy. And he was in our home, and he would sit down and have a meal with us. The neighbors came to my mother and said, "You really shouldn't be doing that." I said, "Why?" I said, "Because everybody would start doing it." She said, "That'd be the Christian thing to do. I'll expect him over at your house next week." They taught me the importance of showing love to others. Now, could my mother be tough? She was tougher than a junkyard dog if you crossed the wrong way or did the wrong thing. One of the neighbors told her she's going to hell for doing that. Oh, I don't want to tell you about that conversation, okay? It was not pretty. My mother was not one of those people that would yell at you or say something ugly to you, a cuss word or something, but when she got through addressing you, you were totally naked from what you'd said, okay? She skinned you to the bone. She taught me to love other people. She taught me to love my spouse when I was going to have one. My mother and daddy loved each other. Never saw them really fuss and fight in front of each other. In fact, we were laughing yesterday that my mother was of the crowd. That, now, when I say subservient, I don't mean my daddy didn't walk on my mother. I remember the time that my father and mother had a little debate about the children, and my father said, "All right," you know, it got kind of gruff. My mother said, "Okay, that's enough." We all went, "Ooh." She ain't never done that. My daddy said, "I'll decide when it's enough," and I thought, "Yeah." My mother raised her finger. That's all she did. She said, "Bill," that was my father's name, "I said, that's enough." You know what my daddy did? He did what the rest of you men did. He really just shut up and went on with his conversation. But they loved each other. My father came in every day, and I'd watch him kiss my mother coming in. It might have been a rough day. It might have been a tough day. She was a stay-at-home mom with three more, and they're worse than me. How's that set you off, women? That'll tell you. She taught me to treat and to love other people. She didn't tell me. She taught me how. And that's what you can do as a mother. You teach your children how to love, even difficult people. My mother taught me how to love difficult people. I remember when my mother went to New York. Mother was southern to the bone. Went to New York and they were talking about her accent. And one of the guys there said, "You know, I really don't like southerners." She's in a little shop in downtown Manhattan. I said, "Why?" He said, "Because you southern women are different." I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, if we don't like somebody, we'll just call you what we think of you." And use some words that my mother wouldn't use. He said, "But you folks, you just go bless your heart." I found out what bless your heart means. Teach your children that there are difficult people in this world. And that it always won't go their way. I'm going to tell you something about my mom and daddy. They never told the principal that I was the sweet little child and I wouldn't do that. If I did something, I found out about it later. Teach them how to love other people, even difficult people. Pass along your faith and then practice that faith. Teach them how to love even difficult people, but how to love. You know that your children are going to learn to love and treat their spouse more than likely by the way you treat yours. Last thing, third thing, pass along godly values. Pass along godly values. Here's what you need to teach them, folks, and I've been a parent long enough. You need to teach them to obey the rules, not to bend them. I've heard more than one time, I've got some friends that I went to high school with that are still in prison because mom and daddy, every time they got in trouble, went and got their little tail out of trouble with the principal or somebody else. And they never learned that rules are not meant to be broken. They're meant to be obeyed. Now, does that mean I always obey the rules? Certainly I do. Just like you do, okay? Teach your children that there are rules in life and to obey them. And when they don't obey them, don't just pat them on the head and say, "That's all right, darling." Do whatever you need to do to correct the problem. Secondly, Show them how much a part of being a godly church he is. The reason I love the church and the reason the Lord was able to touch my heart and call me into the ministry, though I had other plans, was because my parents took me. They didn't send me. They took me. They sat with me. Any of you remember week-long revivals as a child? I don't mean as an adult. Now, we didn't have padded pews at first at the First Baptist Church of Burlington. That guy, I wasn't allowed to lay down. At 7:30, sitting there listening to a preacher at 7 years old, yeah, that's something exciting, isn't it? Teach them to love the church. Love my church to this day. The deepest regret I had when my father passed away is that my ties to First Baptist Burlington, where his life had been for so long, were really kind of severed then. I don't know what goes on this month. Teach them to love the church. Take them to church. Take your children to church. It ain't going to hurt them. Listen, I'm not trying to upset some of you. The thing I hate about society, it used to be that Wednesday night and Sunday was the Lord's Day, and now every day is just every day. Show them that church is a priority. Also show them that church isn't perfect. Only Holloway's is, right?
Yeah.
And the last thing you can show your children, you can pass on to them, is show them how important forgiveness is. Show them how important forgiveness is. The lessons I've learned, I've over the years, I've been a pain. Probably some of you too. But I've had to learn to forgive. And I learned to forgive because of my mother. My mother and my father taught me the importance of forgiveness. Not only of asking for it, but offering it. And I just want to share one word from the Bible for you that we don't seem to believe at all. Jesus said, if you'll forgive people, I'll forgive you. If you won't forgive them, my Father won't forgive you. Now, I don't know about you. That's about as plain and black and white or red or whatever you want to be. He said, if you aren't willing to forgive folks, well, you don't know what they did to me. I had somebody tell me one day, I said, you need to forgive. I know it's hard. I've been there too. It is hard. It's almost impossible. And you can't do it, but God can do it through you. And the person said, well, you just don't realize what they did to me. I said, you don't realize what you and I did to Jesus. He didn't hang on that cross for everybody else's sin. He hung there for yours. Pass along your faith. Now I want to offer you the opportunity this morning to offer your mother or your husband or your children the greatest gift you could ever offer them. And that is to walk this aisle and to give your hand to the pastor and your heart to the Lord. You see, moms and dads, it doesn't matter if they grow up to be, I start to say President of the United States, God forbid. It doesn't matter what they grow up to be, if when they grow up they turn their back on the Lord, or they never really came to know Him at all. We sang earlier, when we all get to heaven, you know, I got two parents in heaven. So I look forward to see them whenever that day comes. And the reason I look forward to seeing them is because my grandfather's passed on to my grandmother, to my mother and my father, their faith. And my family passed it on to me, and Rose and I are passing it on to the next generation and have. And if the Lord returns today, I'm going to be with them and with you if you know the Lord. When we all get to heaven, it's not going to be because we were good people. It's not going to be because we attended church all the time. It's because we had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we asked Him to forgive us of our sin and come into our heart. That's how you get to heaven. Don't listen to what Oprah says. Don't listen to what anybody else says. It's in the book. It's in the book. The book says that the only way to the Father, the only way to heaven, is through Jesus Christ. What about you today? You want to give your wife the greatest gift you can give her on a Mother's Day, or your mother if she's still alive, or even if she's in heaven? And that is, you're going to officially join her. You've never made that decision. Do that today. Maybe you're looking for a church home. I think we got a pretty good one here. Amen?
Amen.
Can I have a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Can I have an amen? I know you're not going to clap for me, but we have a good one. If you're looking for that, we have a pretty good place. It's not a perfect place. The children are going to be coming back out. Those of you get, and there's a reason for that. No, we're not going to hold you up. We're going to close the service with a prayer right now, and they can come home. Tammy, are the kids coming? Is Debbie staying with
them? I've got 13.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Well, you got boomerang kids. They're coming back to you real quick. We're going to close the service. Children, y'all rest a moment. Bailey, I just sang your song, but I didn't get you clapping. Isn't that beautiful right there? If you haven't, that's who you need to be passing your faith on to. Folks, if you haven't, that's who you need to be passing your faith on to. Because they're the next. We're going to close with a prayer, and then we're going to have our hymn of invitation. And we just praise God for you being here and hope that you have a wonderful day. We don't have service tonight. Enjoy the time off. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. I thank you for mothers. My own mother did. Like Lois and Eunice, I thank you for every mother that is passing on her faith. She has more influence, though we husbands don't want to admit it, on her children than we do. That they're passing along their faith, that they're passing along their love, the ability to love others, and then, Lord, that they are passing along godly values. Godly values, Lord, are just disappearing so fast. It's unreal. Father, we can hold the line, and we can do that now. And we do so in Jesus' name. Lord, if there's a child here, if there's a mother here, if there's a father here, somebody who's never put their hand in the hand of the Master, today's the day to do it, and it's just simply, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins, and come into my heart and be my Savior. And He'll be your Savior and your Lord. It's just that simple. Nothing else you have to do. We give you praise, oh Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.